Welcome to the Profitable Audience Podcast. It's close to the end of the year. We're recording this right now just before Black Friday. And something that both Tony and I like to do is towards the end of the year, we like to go through all the services that we use and decide which ones that we're going to stop paying for and which ones we're going to keep because we're cheap.
Because we're very cheap. What's funny is I started doing this probably 10 years ago when I was, and I didn't do it at the end of the year. I did it at the beginning of the year because I was getting all my books ready for my accountant. And I would find these, you know, recurring $7 charges or $12 charges. And I would say, what in the world is this? You know, because it would always be like an obscure name or something like from PayPal, because it's always like the name of the actual LLC, not the product you think you're buying. And then I thought to myself, wouldn't it be smart if like every year before the end of the year, I went through anything that I'm paying for and made a decision so that I'm not angry in January that I like, at least I get like two less months of having to pay for something before I cancel it. And actually it's the funnier part is that we just switched recording services.
Yes.
So we were using Zoom.
Actually, do you want to just talk about that first?
Yeah. So the first expense, your first expense of 2023 is this new tool we're using.
Right. And it's actually the best tool since sliced bread, I think, for video podcasting. So this podcast that you guys are listening to is going to be on video. We're collecting all the footage right now and hopefully launch this next year on video. But it's going to be high quality HD video, whereas Zoom can't really do that.
Right.
Zoom is not the right tool for video podcasting.
And if you are watching this on video, you'll notice that I did forget my glasses today. They are upstairs. So don't ask me to push any buttons.
The thing is like, so let's just talk about the first tool I'm thinking about axing. It's called StreamYard, and StreamYard allows you to go live on multiple platforms all at once. Riverside, which is the tool that we're using for this video podcast, allows you to stream also. The only shortcoming of Riverside is that you can only stream to one channel of one platform. Like right now we stream to two Facebook groups simultaneously. Riverside will allow you to stream to YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter or whatever at the same time.
Right.
But only one group.
Yeah, so you could only stream to YouTube or you could only stream to Facebook and not multiple groups.
No, you can stream to multiple. YouTube and Facebook. But you can't stream to two groups within Facebook.
Oh, so okay. Yes. That makes sense. Okay, so what we pay $25 a month for StreamYard.
Right.
How much is Riverside?
Riverside is $29, I believe.
Okay, so a little bit of a price increase, but the added benefit of the video because Zoom video is terrible. The other thing is when we would record our podcast on Zoom, we also had to separately record our own audio tracks on Audacity, which is a free service. So we're not going to save anything by that, but we are. The quality of this is way better, especially the video. It's insane.
And the audio is better too.
Yeah. Okay,
it's better across the board, which makes it a no-brainer. The question is, how can we get rid of StreamYard now? The only time we stream, the only time we ever use that tool now, actually, is when we go live on the Facebook groups, two Facebook groups simultaneously on Friday.
Yeah, which is kind of, I mean, yeah, that's a hard one because it's like that is actually kind of valuable. But if we could, we can probably find a cheaper solution. So that's step one, is to look for a cheaper solution.
Hopefully. It's either all or nothing to me. Finding a cheaper solution, unless it's free, isn't really worth it.
Well, but that's kind of what I was talking about, if there's a free option. Now, what does this mean for Zoom?
Zoom we still need because everyone uses it to talk. Okay. Like, I conduct meetings on Zoom.
Yeah. So Riverside's my Zoom account really that I've been that. Locked out of for 6 months?
Yes.
You've taken it over?
Yes. In fact, I have a meeting right after this.
On my Zoom account.
I'm tired of changing the name from Tony to Steve, by the way. I'm just tired of it.
Yes.
I might just switch the whole thing over.
I can't even get in. So feel free to do whatever you want. Change it to whatever you want. Okay. So actually, I'd like to talk about my biggest expense that I have every month, which is my overseas VA.
And is it wise to be talking about getting rid of her, like live on a podcast, or
that she?
I'm
edits?
Just kidding.
Just kidding, Marine. No, but I think like what I kind of, you know, that whole Dave Ramsey debt snowball. You pay off like the smallest one first. I always like to look at things like cost wise. So if I look at by far the most expensive expense I have, and probably for you as well, in the content creation side is probably employees or contractors, because we don't have employees. So I have a graphic designer, like a general VA, and then I have someone who does my Facebook. So the graphic designer and my Facebook person is like an immediate no-brainer, because the cost versus like I can't hire another graphic designer and I don't want to find train someone else to do Facebook. So like the pain of getting someone or trying to save on that is not worth it. The VA side, I think, is where people need to be more deliberate in their thinking about it. Now, for me, my VA over the years has learned how to do such a variety of things that to me, there's no way that she could be replaced easily. Kind of like the situation you were in a while back where you thought you might have to get another VA, but then you were thinking about all the things that your VA did for you. For example, like neither of our VAs knew how to edit podcasts or videos when they started with us, but now they do, right? They've learned those skills. The VA Marine who edits the podcast, she also has become fairly knowledgeable in SEO by taking some mini courses. So to me, it's like, yes, that's when I look at the expenses, like that's definitely like, whoa, that's a lot of money. But at the same time, the value that I get from it, there's no way I could replace that, especially in the States. This came to my attention because someone who used to work for me a long time ago, who was amazing, recently came into the situation where she could use some hours. And I thought, do I really have anything for her to do? Because she's so great, I would hate to like miss an opportunity. But at the same time, like Maureen, my VA, can do just about everything I need her to do. So it's like it's kind of pointless to just hire someone because they're available, in my opinion, because I don't really have enough work for her that can't be done by Maureen. And Maureen's already trained and she's already familiar with the site and she's familiar with profitable audience. She's familiar with Seller Summit. Like she does all these different things for us. And so to me, even though that is like the top big expense for me, there's no way I could change that and get the same value.
Yeah. So is this person in the US though that you're thinking of?
Yes.
So they would be like 3 or 4 times more expensive too?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the real reason, Tony. Come on.
No, it's because I don't, and I feel like sometimes I don't have enough work for my overseas VA, especially if it's like a time period where I'm super focused on one thing that doesn't really allow itself to have a lot of help. Like right now, I'm trying to get this new business off the ground. There's not really a whole lot that anyone else can do at this point other than me.
Right.
Since my focus is on that, then all the other stuff that I normally like work on and kind of have going on the side, I'm not super focused on. So there's sometimes less for her to do, which obviously I want to make sure that she stays busy and, you know, stays involved, because no one wants to have a job where you don't feel like you have stuff to do.
Of course.
I think most people don't, unless you're in the United States, then that's your dream job.
Unless you're quiet quitting.
Yeah. You're quiet quitting. So, but I'm sure you feel the same way with your VA.
Yes, absolutely. I may hire someone else next year too, but yeah, we're talking about what we're reevaluating right now, right?
Yes.
I've been reevaluating my email provider again somewhat, although I'm grandfathered in this plan, so.
Yeah.
But my email list has been growing a lot faster.
Yes, ever because since, of all your other.
Because of all the other stuff that I've been doing actually to promote my book, right? And now it's getting to the point where it's actually getting really pricey. Because there's now email send limits.
Yes.
They didn't have that before.
Yes.
Yeah. So the only thing that I'm really thinking about, and I have to think about whether I had the time to do this, is to use that open source email provider.
Yes, that we worked on before.
Because it's got a lot better, actually.
Yeah.
And that way
I didn't mind the one that we used before. It was definitely clunky. So efficiency-wise, 0 out of 10. But cost-wise, 10 out of 10. So I don't know where you sit with that, you know?
Yeah, because that's like my second most major expense is email.
Yeah, and for most people, I would think it's probably email.
And it just seems silly that I'm paying all this money when, in fact, if you were to just use this open source solution, it would literally be 1/100th of the price.
Yeah. Because you pay like pennies on the cent,
yes.
Correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, the next one that I like to evaluate, and we actually, I don't know where we had this conversation. I might have been on another podcast. The hosting, web hosting.
Oh, yes.
Because remember we did that, you and I are both on Liquid Web or Wired Tree or whatever they're calling it today. And we did that deal a couple years ago on Black Friday or New Year. I don't know. It was some deal. And we got super cheap for like 2 or 3 years. But now it's time to pay the piper. And it's like
mine shot up. I've been paying the piper.
Well, yeah, but like over the past like year, it's shot up significantly.
Yeah.
Probably 5 to 7 times more than what I was paying before. And I don't think about it until I get that little bill every month. And then I'm like, dang it. Now, you had talked about so for me, I'm kind of stuck, right? Because I don't really have the capabilities to do a whole lot to change that. But you do. And you've considered a different option.
Actually, I've actually been really happy with the service.
Okay.
What I just haven't been happy with is the increase in price. But Black Friday, they always run this deal.
Yeah.
And then you can sign up for another 2 years at 1/5 the price or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it'll last another 2 years. So the downside is I have to migrate everything over.
Yes.
Which in theory should be easy because they do it for you.
Yeah.
But I've never had a smooth migration experience ever in my entire life.
Okay.
So it's probably going to take me, we're talking like I don't know, at least 2 days of work.
Yeah.
I think.
Okay, so that's another one. What else you got that you're paying for?
That's another one. I've been debating whether push notifications.
Okay.
They still work, mm-hmm. and it actually performs on par with email.
Okay.
In terms of the clicks, but the problem is it's priced. Actually, I don't even remember how much I paid. I just paid the bill, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But for what I use it for, it's not nearly as versatile as email.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still paying this bill.
Yeah.
But the problem is I've got like 30,000 subs or something that if I were to end the service, it would go with it. You can't transfer push subs.
Is that how push notifications work in general?
I think there's a way to do it. I just mm-hmm. would have to study how to do it.
Yeah. Because if you switch email providers, you can take all your email subscribers with you. And I'm assuming SMS, you can take them with you.
Correct. You can.
I've never switched, so I don't know with SMS.
I think push is harder. I don't know if it's impossible, but I know it's harder.
Well, just because of how it would work. I don't know.
Regardless, like I think I'm going to keep it all until my book launches just so mm-hmm. I have maximum yeah. blastage.
Yeah.
So to speak.
maximum blastage ability.
Maximum blastage. So, yeah, but that's something that's in the back of my mind. I'm like, I'm paying I know it's over $150 a month or something like
okay.
that.
Okay.
For this list.
Well, that does add up over the year. I mean, you're over $1,000, so.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So another one going way down in the expense level since you just dropped, I'm paying $150 a month. One thing that I will be keeping that is I find pricey is Tailwind. It's $250, I think, for the year, which is obviously not like $150 a month, but it definitely is worth the expense due to being able to like the time it saves. So you can do everything in Tailwind pretty much manually and probably have a slightly better result, but I don't think it's worth it as far as the time it would take. I mean, we're talking, you know, 45 minutes a week versus probably 45 minutes a day.
I was going to ask you this. Can you do Pinterest effectively without Tailwind, in your opinion?
I think you can if that's all you want to do. If you want to dedicate an hour a day to Pinterest, then you can do it without Tailwind.
Okay, because Tailwind's pretty cheap. I mean,
it is cheap, but you know, it's like, it's also one of those things where this is totally a mental thing because they take it out all at once, like you get charged once a year. That somehow feels way worse than like if you just billed me $13 a month, I'd probably be like, that's $13.
That's true because you forget about it, right?
Yeah, you forget about it. So the one thing I do think that Tailwind has, and there might be some, I don't think they have a true competitor, but there might be some services that provide you this. But one of the things that I do think is effective with Pinterest is repinning content that's already performing well. And with Tailwind, you do see the pin counts on pins inside Tailwind. So if you are in Tailwind and you are on like the community boards or community group things and like that, you can tell like what pins are taking off and what pins are duds. And I don't ever repin duds. So I think for that reason, I don't know how you would replicate that outside of like checking comments or likes inside Pinterest. But that process itself is very manual. You have to click, then you have to scroll. So yes, you could probably get an idea of like, okay, that pin's probably doing well. It has 15 comments and pins don't typically get comments. So if there's comments, that definitely means it's a high repin count. You know, at what point, if this is all you do, maybe, but if it's all you do, wouldn't you rather have Tailwind so you could do more of it? I don't know.
To me, I think Tailwind's like a no-brainer if you want to do Pinterest. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's almost like a required tool.
And then piggybacking on that, which kind of also involves Tailwind, is Tailwind just launched that Tailwind Create in the past year.
Oh, yeah. How's that? Actually,
I haven't used it a ton because I use Canva, which is another price. It's not pricey, but it's $12.95 a month for the pro, the whatever version I have, which I there might be tiers. I'm on whatever tier is the $12.95 tier. And to me, the things that you can do in Canva far surpass anything you can do in Tailwind Create. Because in Canva, you can create PowerPoints, you can create, you know, brochures, you can create PDFs, you can do anything. You can create your own printables. So to me, Canva is the absolute no-brainer. And obviously, you could use PicMonkey or another service like that. It doesn't have to be Canva. I love that you can add all your brand fonts and colors in there. So it makes life very easy when you're creating things. So yeah, Canva is one of those no-brainers for me at $12.95 a month.
Here's something that I would love to drop, but I've been having problems doing so, which is PayPal. You and I both know that, like, even when you process a return on PayPal, you still have to pay the fee.
Yes.
But now they dropped another bomb where if you charge someone by hand using like the virtual terminal, mm-hmm. they'll charge you an extra 0.5% on that too.
Really?
We actually use that part of it. Like when we take orders over the phone and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just ridiculous. Like 3.5%.
Yeah, that is. But how do you get rid of PayPal?
So that's the problem. I mean, Stripe started doing that too, I think. Stripe charges more if you manually process the transaction. And they don't return money either on a return.
No, so. Which we found out the hard way.
Problem is there's like a level of work involved in switching a payment processor.
And what are you going to switch to? That's the other question.
Well, there's lots of stuff you can switch to, but none of them have like no monthly fee. You can get a lower rate. Right.
Lower rate with a monthly fee.
With a monthly fee. And plus like this proctology exam where you have to pass PCI compliance and stuff.
Yeah.
It's been a while since we actually used one of those services.
Yeah.
But it's annoying. You just have to run this test.
Yeah. So what's interesting about PayPal is they got rid of that whole friends and family option.
Yes. Yeah. That's okay, the other reason. Yeah.
Yes. But here's the thing that was interesting. So my son today... My son had to have an emergency dental procedure today, and he had to call at work. It was a whole big thing. So he called me, and he's like, hey, can I borrow some money for this? And I was like, sure. And I said, what's the easiest way to get you some money? You know, do you want Venmo? Because, you know, all my kids are like, Cash App, Apple Pay, whatever. I can't keep track of who does what. And so I was like, yeah, what do you want me to do? He's like, just PayPal me. And I've always, whenever I've given him, like, money for his birthday or things like that, I've always just PayPal'd him the money from my personal PayPal account, and it's never charged me a fee. So I go log, I'm like trying to be quick because I don't know if he needs like to pay the dentist right then or whatever. And also I feel bad because he's like clearly in pain when he's on the phone with me. So I'm like, I'm doing it. This is causing a holdup. I don't want it to be because of me. So I'm like, as I'm logging into PayPal, I'm like, dang it, they're going to charge him like money for me sending it to him. But when I went to send it, it gave me the friends and family option. So I wonder if it's because it's a personal PayPal account.
Oh, that, yes, correct. Yes, personal PayPal accounts still do it. Business accounts, correct. You can't do it anymore.
Yes. Well, what kind of got me confused was that PayPal account was my very first PayPal account that I used to use with my business before I was like a real business, right? So in my mind, it still is a business account somewhere back in the day, but it's not. It's never been. It's always just been a personal account. So I was a little bit happy with that because I was worried that PayPal had changed it for everything. And I was like, well, then you suck. Like, you know, my son shouldn't have to pay a fee for me to send him birthday money or anything. So side note, but I had a panic attack because you and I had this issue a couple months ago where, you know, we were getting hit with the fees.
Yeah. Yeah. So for business accounts, you can no longer send personal payments. Yeah.
annoying. And you should not be sending business payments with a personal account. Just clear, make sure no one's thinking that we're advising that.
Yeah. I don't even have a personal account. Again, I mean, I converted to business a long time ago. Maybe I shouldn't have. I don't know.
I don't think you can take payments on like a mass scale if you don't have a business account. I think there's some restrictions.
Okay, what else is on the chopping block here? For me,
Dropbox. Dropbox is on the chopping block.
Yeah, Google Workplace. That's next on the chopping block. I'm pretty lean as is. So yeah, why don't you go next?
Well, I have Dropbox, and all I use Dropbox for at this point, I use it for one thing, and that is to upload the podcast.
Oh, is that right?
I don't use it for anything else. And so, because we used to do Seller Summit stuff in Dropbox, but now it's all in Drive, like it's got its own little folder and subfolders. And, you know, so we used to do like logos and stuff, but I don't use it anymore for that. And so, and it's, what is it, like $11.99 a month, I think, is a Dropbox. And I'm thinking, but if I could get away with using it, just if I don't have to pay and can do the podcast in there, then I don't see a point of having it for me. I know you use it a lot for your business, so it's different.
Yeah, I have a lot of stuff on Dropbox, and I hate my Drive because it's so disorganized. And
yeah,
and it's not even my fault that it's disorganized.
Whose whenever fault is
someone,
it?
Because whenever someone sends me stuff, it ends up jumbled in there.
In Drive?
Yeah, like if you share a document with me, it clutters up my Drive. Not only that, I don't have ownership of it.
So it...
Right?
Yeah, okay.
Right, so someone, like five people send me stuff, it clutters up my entire Drive. So what am I going to do? Constantly organize that stuff? Right?
What am I going to do? Constantly read emails?
What else have I been considering? Do you want to talk about what we're keeping? Is keeping less interesting or what we're getting rid of more interesting? Probably what we're getting rid of, right? Okay, here I have one. WP Rocket subscription. Do you have WP Rocket subscription?
Yes, I do.
Okay. WP Rocket has not changed.
Yes, that's... Yes, yeah, you did talk about this in office hours.
Right? I mean, I canceled mine a while ago, but I brought it up because I just wanted... I was curious if you're still using it.
Yeah.
But the tool does the same thing, and you're paying these monthly... yearly fees for maintenance when nothing's really getting maintained.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say that. I mean, I'm sure they're making fixes and, you know, that sort of thing. But plugin doesn't do much.
Yeah. No, I need to add that to my chopping block. So one thing that I might put on the chopping block is I am part of two paid Pinterest groups.
Oh.
And it's equal to about $100 a month total for the two groups. But I find myself when I have a question about Pinterest, I can't find the answer in those groups. Like maybe I'm on a different, not like I'm above them, but I'm just doing different things. So it's not necessarily relevant to what I'm doing, or it's just not aligning. Like I think a lot of people in those groups are like Pinterest managers for other people. And so they have like different types of questions than I have. So I've found that a lot of times the questions that I have aren't always answered in the group. And so I've thought, is it really worth it? Because I just Google it, right? Or I actually Google it or I go on Pinterest and find the answer. And usually I can get what I feel like is a current up-to-date answer either by like watching a YouTube video or reading an article that was published in the last, like for things like SEO and Pinterest, things like that, I don't want to read an article that's 2 years old. It needs to be less than 6 months old. And so part of me is like, is that really worth the $100 a month? Because I'm not, am I getting $1,000 of value a year out of this? Probably not. And it's not that it's not a good group. It's a very well-run group. It's just maybe not for me.
Since it's rare for me to add an extra expense, here's something that I recently added.
Okay.
It's a plugin called Advanced Custom Fields. Are you using it?
Mm-mm. No.
Basically, it allows you
making
to...
Making a note, though.
It allows you to make any arbitrary... Add any arbitrary variables to every post.
Okay.
So the reason why I'm using it right now is for this new Google structured markup. Mm-hmm. So basically I can just add like a variable that says, hey, I want this to have like the fact markup. And so I can enter it in for each individual post and then automatically have it added mm-hmm. in code. I don't know if you'll use this, Tony.
Yeah, I'm already glazing over. What?
Basically, you can just add any annotations you want to any post okay.
yeah.
and then manipulate it with code in your theme or your structure. So it's probably just not going to apply to you. But
okay, so what is the cost of this?
It's cheap. It's $40 forever.
Oh, see, and that's the thing. Like, I never evaluate those, right? Because
technically, there's maintenance on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just like WP Rocket. But realistically, yeah. I mean...
So here's one that you'll laugh that I've... Every year I think about canceling this, and I never do. I still have a subscription to Merchant Words.
But it's so cheap. Isn't it like $2?
It's not that cheap, but it's under 10.
Is it a month cheap. Or...
A month.
Okay.
It's like $5 a month. But here's the thing. They've changed the pricing. Well, I haven't checked this year. But they've since... Like, we got grandfathered in from being at that conference. Remember we got some special deal when we were at Startup Bros? Because... we could talk about that forever. But anyway, we got a deal, like we used a special link, and the price has never changed on me. So I don't want to get rid of it because my fear is like if I then all of a sudden I'm like, because I actually use it occasionally. It's not like I never use it. I do. So part of me is like if I get rid of it, then I'm going to want it again and it's going to be like $15 a month, right? Or some other price because I know the price that I pay is not the real price anymore because obviously you've got to increase your pricing. So anyway, that's one that every year I'm like, oh, I should probably get rid of that. And then I never do.
That's just like my wife. She used to belong to 24-Hour Fitness, uh-huh. but her price was literally $3 a month.
Yeah. So you can't cancel.
And you can't cancel, but she never went. So,
yeah,
you know. She was just paying this money. She eventually canceled it. And I was like, wait, can you transfer it to me? Like, I'll go.
Yeah, I'll go. But, $3 a month. Yeah, that's one of the things where I feel like they get you with like a really low introductory price. And then when they don't, like if they up it on you, it's like when you sign up for cable, right? And they're like, you can get internet and TV and a phone and I don't know, your own personal servant for $43 a month for the first 2 years, and then it's going to cost $800 a month. It's like some obscene jump, right?
It's like Liquid Web for us.
Yes, exactly. So like you happily go along for a couple of years, and then you like this just happened to me. I just got my new cable bill, or all I have is internet. Like I don't have a phone, or I don't have cable TV, and it jumped like I don't know, like $25-$30, and I'm like, oh, well, this isn't cool. I'm still getting the same crappy service I got a month ago, like. But now you want me to pay $25 more a month for it. But I think when they do that, it totally gets your attention. Unfortunately, I live in an area where like there's not really any other options to get internet that I know of. I'm sure there's probably some like random one that stinks too. But
I mean, clearly that method must work because you'll forget about something after 2 years and you might not even notice the increase for a while.
Yeah.
And that's how they make their money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So here's an expense that I recently added.
Okay.
TubeBuddy Legend.
TubeBuddy, that's the YouTube.
TubeBuddy
thing, right?
Is the YouTube tool. It provides keyword research. The reason why I signed up for the highest tier was for the split testing.
Yes.
So it turns out that thumbnails represent about 70% of your click-through rate, and then the title is about 30%. Mm-hmm. But if you can increase like the click-through rate from like 4% to 4.5%.
Mm-hmm.
That's like 10% more views. And if you're getting like 100,000 impressions, 10% of that, that's actually a lot more views.
Yeah.
So it actually adds up. It is it's a pretty cheap tool, fortunately.
Yeah.
If you pay for the year.
I remember being surprised when you told me how cheap it was.
Yeah. I think I pay like 20 a month or something like that for it.
Can we talk about a service that you paid for that was expensive?
Which one?
Or do you not want to talk about it?
We can talk about it. What is it?
You paid someone to help you with your YouTube account.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Which was very expensive.
That was very expensive.
Yeah.
I ended up signing up for 2 months. I just recently canceled.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it was a waste of money because I learned so much about like how professional YouTube channels operate.
Mm-hmm.
And... I also discovered that I could easily train like a VA to do everything that he's doing. And I'm guessing that he doesn't even do most of the work himself. He probably outsources it to people. And he just kind of like the typical agency model, right?
Right.
You're like the face. You do a good job selling something.
Yep.
But in reality, someone in like, I don't know, Philippines or China or India or something are actually doing the work. Yeah. So now that I say, so whenever we had our one-on-ones, I would just ask them all these questions on how stuff works. And I'd be just taking notes. And I'm like, okay.
Tell me all your business.
You're so good. You're so good at this.
I can start my own agency. No. okay. Yeah. That was a big one for you.
That was a big one. That is no longer on the books. I'm debating whether to just continue the consulting though.
Yeah.
Cause it is nice to be able to talk to somebody when things aren't going well.
Mm-hmm.
Or, and feedback. How to improve.
Yeah.
But it's still kind of pricey just for that.
So switching gears a tiny bit, I feel like I also start thinking about like, what am I willing to spend money on in the next year? So,
clothes, nails, hair.
Hair, you think about nails, cutting your hair clothes, budget? Shoes. No, please.
Yeah.
Please. We're not, although I did not have time to do it today, but no, I'm not cutting the hair budget. Okay. That's definitely an increase.
That's actually a pretty expensive budget for you, isn't it? The hair budget?
It is. Yeah. That it is the most expensive thing in my, like, outside of like home expenses. I don't buy clothes. I rent all my clothes. I like to travel. So I spend my money on travel and I try to do that as best as I can with points. And other than that, like, I've kind of become a little bit of a credit card hacker. I'm not good at it at all. And the problem is too, like, I need to have calendar reminders to pay the credit card, because if I don't, I forget. Well, cause you know, it's like I got a Marriott card, right? Because I have Marriott status. That's really the only hotel chain I stay in. You got a Marriott card too.
Yes.
And like a lot of the conferences we attend are at Marriott. Like next year I have 3 conferences that I've already like signed up for. All of them are at Marriott's. So it's like, didn't make sense not to like maximize my points at a Marriott and just use that card for my Marriott stays. Right. But then I forgot I got the card, right? Because I don't really like, it's not like a card that I use. So all of a sudden I woke up the other day and I was like, oh, I bet that payment is due. Like, cause I'm not good with reading my mail either. I need everything to come in an email. So anyway, but like, that's my worst part, is like, I need to have a little tier of like, okay, cause I use this card for this, cause you get the most points, and this card for this. And it's like, you know, but I pay them all every month cause I don't want to pay any extra. But so I'm like trying to be a little bit of a travel hacker, but I'm not great at it because I'm not organized enough to pay everything on time.
My wife handles that for me. But for a while, like, I have Amex Platinum, which is $500. I think it's $600 a year now, I want to say.
Yeah, it's expensive because I looked into that one.
When I was traveling a lot, it was actually worth it. I was getting a lot of perks, but I haven't actually traveled that much. I mean, I just started traveling this year, really. So
yeah, become worth it again. You know what I mean?
Well, we're getting rid of it because I got a Marriott card now.
Yes. I do like the Marriott card. And I signed up. You probably signed up around the same time I did, where we got like a ton of points just for signing up. Because I have a Delta card too that I used for a long time when I always flew Delta, but now I live in a place where Delta is not like the easiest carrier, and so I'm actually going to cancel that card at the beginning of the year, and I'm like contemplating on like what airline card I want to switch to. JetBlue is sending crazy offers right now if you're a travel hacker. Like, they've got some like a lot of points, like 80,000 plus points just for signing up, kind of thing. So anyway,
so okay, let's talk about this, because I'm actually curious. What are your new business expenses that you're planning on buying this year?
So this is where I'm spending money. So one thing I just bought, which is slightly tied to the new business, but more just like personal business, is I bought Chase's copywriting course. Chase and Mason.
Nice.
Chase Diamond. Sorry, I'll never remember the name right.
It's Diamond.
And his buddy Mason. So I think I told you this. I've watched like the first video. It's stupid to buy anything before Black Friday when you work online because you don't have time to do it. But it's funny because I always was worried about like our production value, and their production value is... It's worse than ours.
No
but
way.
But the content so far is good. Like it just drives home the point that don't worry about your production value, worry about your content, because that's what people want anyway. So I did invest in that, which was like $320. I bought it on sale. They accidentally sent out a coupon, or so they said. And so I bought that on sale. The other thing that I need to buy is a teleprompter for the videos that I'm going to be making. I've decided that it's probably just easier to do that than be frustrated.
Then spend 10 hours on video.
Spend 10 hours making a video.
Yes.
I probably won't read directly off the teleprompter, but just to have a place for notes and things like that so I can see it while looking at the camera would be helpful. I know you have a hacked teleprompter set up.
No, I have a real teleprompter. They're so much cheaper now, though.
Oh, are they? Yeah. Okay. So I'm probably going to buy whatever you have.
Yeah.
I actually told Brian to watch our video in the class about your YouTube setup and just make a list of the items that we don't already own. So anyway, I need to buy a mic that plugs into my phone, I think is what it is, correct?
You know, you should just get this Rode wireless. It'll plug into your phone and then it's a wireless lav. It works really well. Yeah. One of my best purchases.
Okay. Need to get that. I already have the lighting. I've got tripods. I've got all that stuff. I've got a SLR camera. So I don't think I need anything of that nature. So those are kind of the main expenses. I don't have a lot of the core YouTube stuff, which I will say I could probably, other than the little mic, I could probably do all of it without anything else. I could probably just buy the mic. But I also know that my main hurdle to doing video is the degree of difficulty of, I don't want to film it 42 times. And so the teleprompter is by far the best thing that I could probably do to, make sure it happens. The other thing obviously is, which is totally separate, but obviously buying inventory. We're at the point now where we've kind of decided on the products. We've gotten all but one of our samples. So now we're at the point of okay, it's probably time to start making some decisions about actually purchasing a volume of products. One of the things that we got a sample of, one of the things we bought doesn't fit quite right on a helmet. And so we're going to need to make some modifications on that. So there's some, nuances with the things. But so obviously inventory will probably be the biggest cost next year, which would make sense on any inventory-based business.
So for me, I'm test driving this tool called Descript.
Okay.
Have you heard of it?
No.
Basically, it's a podcast editing tool, also a video podcast editing tool, where it transcribes it, but you can just delete the words and automatically edits it on the podcast. Also, it can learn your voice. So you could type in a sentence and it'll read it as if it was your voice, and it actually sounds pretty good. So you can easily make edits to your podcast. In case you say something stupid, you can literally just type in a fix to that in your own voice.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. So I'm looking into that.
You're testing the tool right now?
I am, actually.
What's the cost on that?
It's just I don't even know, because it's a trial. But it's something on the order of $20 something. No, it's $20 a month or something like that.
That's cheap.
Yeah. It's by the number of hours, I think.
That would make sense, yeah.
That you use it for. But if I'm going to get more serious about the video podcasting and whatnot, and I want to be able to make edits, it might be worth it. Right now, my VA does everything, but certain times, if I want to change, there's a lot of back and forth, and she's got to re-rip the video. It's a lot of time. There's another purchase I was going to make, which I can't think of. I'm blanking out. Why don't you go first, and I'll remember.
So the other thing that I was considering getting, my other would be a large purchase, is a PC computer.
A non-Mac computer?
Yes.
Why? Yes. When I sent you a perfectly good 10-year-old machine that's right next to you.
When you sent me a perfectly good dinosaur of a Lenovo, it's a Dell. I was going to say it's a Lenovo, it's a Dell computer. Because there are certain things that just work better on PC. Obviously not video editing and things like that, in my opinion. But I think there's some things that if I just had a PC that was functional more than the one you sent me, that's functional on Tuesdays and Fridays in odd number days of the week. I think there's just certain things that connect, just simple things like Audacity, right? Doesn't work on the Mac. I can't get all the filters. I've tried everything. I've read every message board, I've had my brother try. It's just at this point, I'm okay, it's just not.
I mean, there's GarageBand, I guess you could use.
Yeah. But I just think, and they're not expensive. I'm not talking about buying this super expensive gaming computer, but just something to where I know that certain things just work better. I had tons of problems with label printing on a Mac back in the day, right? Like it just, some of that stuff is just way more compatible with a PC. And I'd also like a computer that's literally just for the other business. And so there's not all this garbage on it that I have from everything else that I'm doing. And, you know, I just think because, and I know I'm hard on my computers as far, like currently right now, you'd probably die. I probably have 32 tabs open. And then I wonder why my computer doesn't work like I want it to. So I'd like to have something that literally is just for the new business. We only do new business stuff on it. It, you know, it's clean. And also for like, initially, I think we're going to be doing, like, I'm going to be doing the shipping right from my house, at least for the first, you know, 6 months to a year. And so having a computer, like my kids know how to ship, but it used to be when they would go ship for me in the jewelry business that, you know, I was like, don't touch anything else. You know, there's like a half edited podcast or there's this or that. And it would be nice to just say like, flip it open and open this window. And it's like, do it. Right.
You'll be so happy that your PC is probably going to cost half as much as your Mac and be the same hardware specs.
Yes, and it will be just as good. Now, I am not comfortable on a PC. Like when you sent me the laptop, I don't think I knew how to shut it down for like 6 weeks. I was like, how do you turn this thing? Where's the off? Where's the shutdown restart button? So it's obviously a learning curve for me because I've been on a Mac since the eMac, the big bubble computer.
Oh, yeah. The iMac, you mean?
Was it the iMac? I think it was the eMac before.
No, it was the iMac back in the day. It was different colors.
Yes. Yes.
Back when we were in college.
I think I had an orange one. what's funny is that we were watching that movie about Steve Jobs the other day. And when he unveils that computer, I was like, I had one. Like I had one back in the day. Anyway, so I think that would be something that's just, I've realized at this point in my life, certain things are truly obstacles to me. Like one of the things that's an obstacle to me is I don't like to open mail. I just don't open the mail. Like it's, I probably have a week's worth of mail stacked on my desk right now. It's just, I don't want to deal with it. And it's not because there's anything bad in my mail. It's just like, it's just something that I don't want to handle. And so I signed up for like bill pay for everything. And I put as much on automation as I could. And now like, not that I never could pay my bills, but like I would always struggle with like getting them on time because I didn't want to deal with like, and then if I have to mail something like a stamp and an envelope, no, absolutely not. So I'm realizing that like I need to remove certain barriers so that I can be more organized. And even if it does cost me a little bit of money, it's worth it because over time it's less stress and less money because I'm not missing something or forgetting or not doing it because it's annoying.
Have you considered using those virtual mailbox services? The mail gets sent there, they scan it for you. And then they just send you the files.
What is this?
You never heard of that before?
Beautiful thing. No.
Ask Lars what he uses. He's been using it for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. So all the mail just goes, you never see the paper. They literally scan every piece.
And then just shred it.
And if they feel like it's important, they'll. You can ask for the physical.
Like if it's a credit card or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would totally do that.
And it's cheap.
Yeah. So those are my big expenses for the upcoming year.
I don't think I have any big expenses. I'm probably going to sign up for Twitter Blue.
Okay. Did they just change that?
Can't sign up, but they're going to reopen it later because they had all the fiasco with the people impersonating. Yeah. But Elon has publicly stated that anyone who's on Twitter Blue will get priority treatment for visibility on the platform.
Okay.
Which is basically forcing everyone who wants to have a presence on there to pay for it.
Yeah. To pay for Twitter.
Right.
So, and what did you think it was going to be, about $8 a month?
It'll be $8 a month. I'm still wondering whether that's going to be worth it. But I guess if you want to be on Twitter, he's basically forcing you to do it.
Well, I mean, how many email subscribers do you get a month?
Oh, actually, Twitter? A lot. When I went viral, it was like thousands. It was totally.
Yeah, so you're telling me that even if you got 100 email subscribers a month, it wouldn't be worth $8 a month?
Okay, well, now that you put it that way, yes. But the problem is when you go from free to paid, that's tough for the same level of service. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, exactly. Yep. Yeah.
Whereas if he was adding all these extra features to justify it, or maybe he will, I don't know.
No, I totally get that. I think anytime something's free and you have to upgrade, in order to feel happy with the upgrade, It's like with Canva. When you pay for the upgraded version of Canva, you get a ton more features. It's almost like, oh my gosh, how did I live with the free version? As a business, you want the customer to feel that way when they upgrade. Like they're happy to pay you the money because it's so much better.
Yeah. I think that's all I got. I mean, I'm keeping it lean. I'm going to be spending lots of money next year on the book launch and traveling and throwing parties and stuff. So that's where all my money is going to be going.
All that YouTube money?
Yes, YouTube. Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Now, for more information about this episode, go to profitableaudience.com/podcast, where we list all of the tools and resources mentioned in our show notes.
And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. When you write us a review, it not only makes our day, but it helps keep this podcast up in the ranks so other people can use this information, find the show more easily, and get some awesome business advice.
Leaving a review is by far the best way to support the show. And please tell your friends, because the greatest compliment that you can give us is to provide a referral to someone else, either in person or to share it on the web.
And if you're interested in building your own profitable audience, subscribe to our free 6-day mini course where we walk you through the exact steps needed to find your niche, build a website, grab email subscribers, and monetize your content. You can sign up at profitableaudience.com/free.
Thanks for listening.